Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday, so we're talking about getting healed. If you have any questions or comments, or especially about the homework we're doing right now, talking about forgiving God, want this to be something that you're actually participating in, feel free to give me a call at 718-664-69. Oh, wait a minute, I lost my own number. Hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. 718-664-6988. Computer's running a little slow this morning. And we've been talking about forgiving God. And we've talked about how that's kind of an odd concept for a lot of us. We've been taught differently that, you know, God never does anything wrong. So, and that's how we would base our forgiveness on, is when someone does something wrong. We've learned that forgiveness is not about what the other person does, whether it's right or wrong, or whether they ask for forgiveness, but it's a state of being on our part. Even if the other person, the offending party, if you will, never comes to a realization, maybe they really didn't even do anything wrong, but we interpreted it as something hurtful, or maybe it was accidental. It doesn't matter, because from our standpoint, we are a forgiving person. You are a forgiving person. So you forgive on that basis. You free them, you release them, and you let them have that clean slate to start over again. Now, again, that doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to someone's actions. That's a totally separate issue. And one of the problems with mixing that with forgiveness is many people, we release them from the actions of their consequences. And that's not something, that's not a part of forgiveness. For instance, if you're an employer and your employee steals from you, you forgive them. You don't hold it against them. But there are consequences to stealing. You fire them. You call the police. You take certain actions. But it's not about your relationship with them. You don't hold it against them. You just allow them to suffer the consequences of their actions. You don't interfere with that process. In a relationship, especially a marriage relationship, when unfortunately, this is fairly common in Christian marriages, is the wife or the husband will, you know, commit adultery or in some way destroy the trust or injure the trust of the other. And they ask for forgiveness. And, of course, the other one's going to forgive them. And then they think, okay, I can continue to do this. Or I don't have to work to regain their trust because I've been forgiven. Well, that's not the case. Forgiveness is about our state of being. Our state of being, it's much more about our relationship with God than it is with the other person. It would not be wise. It would not be a reflection of God's nature to not recognize the injury to that relationship and work out a plan as to, if there's desire to reestablish that relationship, how are we going to do that? How How is the offending party going to rebuild that trust? Starting with the recognition that they have to, that they have to take responsibility for the need of rebuilding the trust. So that's a totally separate issue than forgiveness. You know, you can forgive someone and still hold them accountable for their actions. You know, I want to trust you, but until you do what is necessary to regain my trust, I'm not going to be able to. And don't have any problem with that. Don't feel guilty or conflicted. Those are two separate issues. You have totally forgiven them. In other words, you don't take that personally. You don't take their actions as a reflection of who you are. You are a spirit being. You are a forgiving person. You release them. But you do where it's appropriate, where it's under your responsibility, you hold them accountable for their actions. So I wonder what misbehaviors would be cut short, not only within relationships, but within the church and many other areas. You know, I've been involved in many ministries, quite a few ministries, some very small, some quite large, and never been in a situation where in every single one of those situations, there's been a degree of misbehavior that was overlooked by staff members because it would tarnish God's reputation. That was the message that was put forth. You know, you don't want to do anything that would bring dishonor to God's name. And, you know, someone in the ministry, that's what, you know, they're supposedly doing is carrying God's name. But that's not at all God's viewpoint. I think it would do us all a great deal of good to be held accountable for those misdeeds. Now, I don't mean, okay, let's call the newspaper. But if there's misbehavior there, call them on it. And then if there's no response there, you can still forgive them for those misbehaviors, for those inadequacies. You know, there's always a range. There's a range from, you know, not being one thing in front of an audience and being another in front of the family or the staff, to stealing, you know, to wasting funds, to lying, to misrepresenting what, you know, who God is. There's quite a range. And you know, for instance, if you are on staff, you have an option, or if you are a participant, you have an option. You bring that out, you bring it forward. If it's not received, you know, there's, depending on what you know, you then take, and the information you have and the validity of it, you take that to the appropriate resources. If it's one thing if it's stealing, for instance, cheating on taxes or something like that. It's another thing if it's just you think they're misrepresenting God. As with everything, we go to God. We go, okay, God, what do we do with this? What do I do with this? And if it's something having to do with a law being broken, there aren't that many options. Okay, you are responsible as a citizen of your country, as a citizen in the natural realm, which is where those laws are being broken, to relay that information. But then you can release it, because it's not about you making sure that they're held accountable. Then it's the law's responsibility. In other words, you don't have to make sure that they pay for their indiscretions. You know, for instance, if it is a tax thing and you contact the IRS and they look into it and there's not a problem, you go, okay, and you go on with it. You then have a choice, Lord, do I stay working there? You make your decisions based on your relationship with God. He may want you there. He may release you from that position, that situation. Then you just go in peace and you go, okay, Lord, what next? one of the problems we have now, so since we're sort of on this train, I'm going to ride it a little bit longer. We will be getting back to how to forgive God specifically. But one of the questions we've got is then, one of the problems, having again been involved in ministries, is there is a tendency that once you get involved in ministry, you can't work in a secular job. This is true with most nonprofit organizations. And it's just because the way of doing things and the pay scale is just so not transferable to the secular world. And I just want to encourage you that it's worth the transition. If this is something God is putting in your head, that that this is the time to switch career fields or look into another line of work where you can, you know, that, and you've been in the ministry and you want to go ahead and, you know, if you've got a family to support, and God is saying this is the time for you to switch fields. This isn't, you know, where you're, this direction is not going to be able to put food on the table, for instance. There is a, you know, a transition. Don't hold it against yourself that you're, you know, been working in the ministry. Don't let others hold it against you. Just because your pay is going to be, you know, much less than you're going to be looking for in the real world, show in the secular world, don't let that be held against you to look for a similar kind of position out in a secular company, for instance. Don't think that you don't deserve an appropriate pay grade because you've been working in ministry, and that's, it doesn't seem to count as much with many people. So, you know, as you look at that preparation, make sure you've given God plenty of time to deal with you about your own view about what you've been doing and about what you're going to be doing. It will only serve you better to be fully aware of the expectations that others may have for you. In that sense, though, do remember that we're in kind of interesting times right now, and there's a lot of transitioning. If you have a family, you know, especially if you have kids, you know, younger kids, it was your decision, you and your spouse's decision to have those kids. And there has a tendency, we have a tendency in Christian circles to say, well, God will take care of us. You know, God honors those who take care of their kids, and we're a good family, so God will take care of us. But it is you and your spouse who had those children. And it is you and your spouse who made the decisions, or lack thereof, on how you spent your money, that house you bought, that car you bought, the, you know, whatever, you know, the place you chose to live. Those were your decisions. And before God can help you, each one of us must take responsibility for the situation we have created. And it's not because you didn't tithe. It's not because you missed him somewhere along the way that he's now withholding blessings. It's because of decisions you made. And take responsibility for those. You can't exercise authority in those areas until you've taken responsibility that you made those choices. This is the sphere where, whether you are a Christian or not, this is the realm of reality, both the supernatural and the natural, that you already have responsibility and authority over. So God will lead, guide, and direct you. But without acknowledging our role in our situation. The help we receive from Him is much more going to be directed at bringing us to the realization that we made mistakes, rather than getting us out of the mistakes. You know, you and I both have heard so many, been to so many conferences, heard so many teachings, and unfortunately, so much of the content is directed, or either initially and directly or peripherally, around finances, around just listening to a couple of series where it was all about, you know, God's new blessing is to get you out of debt, you know, magically get you out of debt. You know, that God's people don't deserve to be in debt. And yet there was never one mention about how that happened. And I wonder if, now there may be circumstances where debt was taken care of, debt was recovered. But I wonder how quickly those people are going to get right back into debt. And so if the root cause is not dealt with, very often our intervention in other people's lives to help in areas where they're hurting isn't helping. It's merely delaying the process God has, because He wants to deal with the root causes. There may be wounds involved or places where we're believing lies, which was what makes us vulnerable to our enemies. Or it may be just a misunderstanding or lack of practical skills. Lack of understanding, again, of what is our responsibility. There really is this idea that if we are Christians, if we are doing what we are supposed to be doing, what we have been told we should do, then God is going to take care of us. Now, in one sense, yeah, He will. But if you're not able to hear Him when He says, turn right, I want you to make adjustments in this area, I want you to change jobs, I want you to move, you know, to another state. If we're not able to hear Him and test His voice and then move confidently when He says that, then we are removing ourselves from His direction. We are denying Him the opportunity in our lives to keep us from anything that He doesn't want us to have. Tragedy in our lives, difficulty, stress. Some of these things will come into our lives through no reason of ours. But there are some things that happen in our lives as a direct consequence of decisions and choices we make. Which brings us around to forgiving God. We've talked last time about taking time to let God bring to your attention any areas that you are holding your past or your present or your future against Him. And again, we don't need to forgive God because it wasn't wrong in any way, shape, or form. The choices God has made for us in our lives, the circumstances and situations. But there are times when the things God does in our lives cause us pain. And it's those, you know, sometimes it's embarrassment when He has to expose our selfishness to others or by using others to get our attention. Sometimes it's, you know, pain of bearing our own actions, the consequences of our decisions. But we realize we take time to think, okay, what is it that I'm holding God responsible for? What am I mad at God about? And your homework from last Tuesday was to write down and really spend some time thinking about areas where God has hurt you, where God behaved unexpectedly, where he didn't come through when you thought he would. And then you are going to narrow those down. And then for each one of those, you are going to respond to, it made me feel, your feelings in regards to that. For instance, it hurt me when you allowed my parents to get divorced. It made me feel abandoned, not only by them, but by you, because you said you'd take care of me. And that's the next part of where we're going. So, but we come to forgiveness with acceptance that all things that have come into our lives were created and are created and used by God for the single purpose of bringing us into dependence on him. So we start there. But then we recognize that we need to forgive God, release God for the pain that his actions caused us. You know, he's not a sadist. It doesn't please him in any way, shape, or form to cause us pain. But sometimes that's what it takes to get our attention. And sometimes pain is the consequence of our own actions. But to be able to further our relationship with him, we need to allow him to bring to the surface those areas that we are holding him at arm's length. So you go through your short list and just answer the question, or fill in the blank, God, it hurt me when you. Again, and for an example, is it hurt me when you allowed my parents to get divorced. Now, of course, you know, in that kind of a case, odds are you also blame your parents. But ultimately, very often, God gets the blame. And don't worry, he's not going to argue with you. He's not going to say, you know, you're right. He's not going to say, you can't, you know, lay that at my feet. That was a decision your parents made. He wants to talk to you about this. He wants to resolve these issues. So then your next response, because you need to personalize each one of these. It made me feel. When you did this, it made me feel. When you allowed my parents to get divorced, it made me feel abandoned. It made me feel like there was no one I could rely on, and I certainly couldn't rely on you. Go ahead, get it out, get it on paper. Odds are this is something you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, keeping these paths open. Third, put down what your expectations were, why the pain is there, why the disappointment is there about what God did in your life based on your expectations. I had thought that if you loved me, you would have intervened and kept my parents together. Okay, so fill in the blank. I had thought that if you loved me, you would, and then fill in the blank for your particular situation. Now, if you want to follow along, we do have these in a book form. Some have wanted to move forward. So I am making, you can order them now through, there's a link on the profile page for Blog Talk Radio. But I am also setting up a separate link for Blog Talk Radio listeners for a special offer that'll be coming down the road. But if you can't wait and you want to, you know, follow along sort of what we're doing here, especially in these kinds of situations, or if you want to move forward, you can either contact me or order them online through the link on the page. So you're going to say, you know, Lord, God, it hurt me when you did this and thus and so. It made me feel this way. Because I had thought that if you really loved me, you would never would have allowed this to happen. You would have intervened in this way. You would have kept me from making these stupid mistakes. And finally, we're sort of doing our research, getting everything about this particular situation out on the table. Because you allowed this pain to come into my life, and you didn't do what I thought you should do, I started to believe that you didn't love me, for instance. So I started to believe that, and you just fill in the blank. I started to believe that there was no way to please you. I started to believe that you were not dependable. So go ahead and fill in those blanks for the 3 to 5 top issues. And if you need to go back, listen to last Tuesday's program. That might be helpful as well. Forgiveness is a big deal. We've all learned so much theoretical and conceptual, but it hasn't helped. And that's always a good indicator. Does forgiveness free us and allow us to enter into that rest? And very often, what we see in many relationships, this is an area where we use God to get our way. Forgiveness is not just allowing the other person to get away with bad behavior. Let me say that again and again and again. When you forgive someone, that doesn't mean you allow them to get away with bad behavior. They are two totally separate things. Forgiveness is an expression of you, of your new nature, your spirit being. In your spirit, you have already forgiven them. But it is a natural relationship that needs to be restored. And that's something that in the natural you have to work on. And as a, you know, dealing with any wounds you've got, recognizing that no one has the right to, if you're in a relationship, no one has the right to keep on going, stepping over your boundaries without it being negotiated. This is one of the areas we've talked about as far as authority and responsibility that in each realm there are levels of authority. In the spiritual, you have no spiritual authority other than God. And since you are already one with Him, you already have that same equal authority in your life. So you can't give your authority to someone else, because you can't take it away from God. That's one of the reasons we have such conflict. It's one of the reasons there's so much perversion of who God is in cults and other authoritative kinds of churches, and other kinds of organizations as well, where absolute, unquestioning obedience is demanded. And we've talked about that in recognizing red flags on Mondays. But the whole point is to separate those out. Don't let the whole concept of forgiveness keep you in locked into a cycle of accepting pain and not say, wait a minute, this is not what God has for me. I am allowing someone else to determine who has authority in my life. So we'll continue on how to forgive God next week. We've laid the groundwork. Now we're going to learn how to actually implement it. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be back together again on Thursday morning at 7:30. Have a great rest of the week, and I'll talk to you then. Thanks.